Hey, drama listeners, it's me, Dylan, flying solo and flying free to quote Ms. Elphaba Throp from the musical Wicked. I'm here using my best NPR voice to tell you about a new podcast that launched last month, centering around the musical Wicked, named for an oft-skipped song in the show called Sentimental Men. Now, you're going to hear from former Elphabas talking about their experiences getting on the broom, getting green, and they're going to be chatting with self-proclaimed Wicked aficionados Quincy Brown and Kevin Bianchi. Now, when I say Wicked aficionados, I mean it. They know their shiz. Now, you can keep up with them on social media at SentMenPod, and you can stream their episodes wherever you get your podcasts. I sure know I will be. Okay, we aren't back to the show yet. This is Dylan flying solo, I know, jarring, to tell you all about our exclusive bonus content platform, Patreon. Drama plus Patreon is fun mini episodes, long-form twin talk convos, videos from our Zoom recordings, and even access to our Instagram close friends. Skip your PSL this month and subscribe to Patreon for only $5. You'll also get the scoop on our upcoming guests and maybe even some merch giveaways. All right, now back to the show for real.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. And this has been a blast already. I don't want to spoil too much. I wish we were already recording.
I wish we were too, because this guest is a ball of energy. You know right away. If they're a sister, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's with us.
I will say she's been a commonly suggested, you guys should have her on.
Absolutely.
And now is the time is now.
But before we get into her, she is the name on everybody's lips, but there's another name. There is another name on everybody's lips.
There is.
Ratatouille.
I know.
Dylan, the Ratatouille TikTok musical that is being sent around the interwebs. I am obsessed. Oh my God. It is brilliant. Nick Prainer, shout out, told us you guys need to talk about it on the pod. So I introduced this to you earlier and we've had the
moments before recording
that the titular song, the I Praise You, the Ratatouille. I mean, it makes no sense, but it is so good. What are your thoughts, Dylan? Instant reactions.
I, of course, feel like it's like Les Mis modern.
Okay.
Because it's Paris, of course. And I also feel that why would Disney, like, I feel like Ratatouille is the forgotten child of Pixar. Like, they, even when we went to Disney in high school with our music department, we were like scouring the land for Ratatouille and there was nothing, not even an Italian restaurant, or I guess it's an Italian restaurant in Paris, or is it in Italy? I think it's in Paris.
Wait, I randomly can't remember. Emily in Paris meets, it's Paris. It's Paris. We're getting intel from the producer. It's actually,
yep, Tracy's coming in. Tracy.
It is Paris.
Yes.
And you know, you're right. It's forgotten, but I had a aha moment a la Oprah that I think it's because it's a rat. They don't want a rat walking around. I don't know. It just feels kind of like scary in a way.
I agree. And you know, it reminds me of Chuck E. Cheese, Chuck Entertainment Cheese, who was also
wait
a rat.
Minute, stop. Is that what the E stands for in Chuck E. Cheese?
It is entertainment. It is. And I actually read a crazy Twitter thread last night about Chuck E. Cheese and how he was designed to be a coyote, but then ultimately became a rat. And it was because it was inspired by Disney and they wanted it to be like their answer to Mickey Mouse.
Oh, instead of a mouse, it's a rat.
I digress. But Ratatouille the musical, we're seeing amazing content. Our friend of the pod, Andrew Barth Feldman, is putting great stuff out there. I definitely think he should play Linguini.
He would be perfect. Oh my God.
And I think that that Ratatouille themselves should be played by a child.
Well, Disney's all about his name is Remy. It's Remy.
Oh, right, right. It's been years, Connor.
I know, I know, I know. But anyway, so fun. Everybody has got to check it out. We'll probably reshare it on our social media. I mean, when this comes out, it'll be like old news. But it's timeless. It's timeless music.
It is, and I think that our guest has some thoughts. So I think we should bring her in.
Bring her in.
All right.
Bring her home.
Oh. All right. Our guest today is a Kansas girl at heart, having starred as some of the most iconic female leading roles on Broadway, in the West End, and across the country. She is perhaps best known for launching the national tour of Waitress right here in Cleveland, where Connor and I are recording, as Jenna Hunterson, having later went on to show London audiences what baking can do in the West End production, which is a crazy story. A graduate of the University of Michigan, this starlet made her Broadway debut in Wicked, covering the role of Elphaba. And maybe Nessa Rose? There isn't too much out there. Our guest then appeared in the revival of Annie, also on tour as Ava Perone, and in the most recent Les Miserables revival, understudying Fantine. She was the name on everybody's lips as Roxy Hart in Chicago on Broadway, and also works as a professional voiceover artist. Her entirely new original albums, Pocket of Time and Repeat, can be found on iTunes and Spotify. Additionally, she is the co-founder of Pop Rock Broadway alongside friend of the pod, Christina Alabato. She is a yogi, teacher, and sweetest pie. Be sure to check her out on Broadway Plus. Please welcome to Drama, Desi Oakley.
Oh my gosh. First of all, you better just read my whole resume. That was amazing. Also, I'm taking you with me everywhere. That was genius.
Deal.
Also, I really wanted to, like, I was so tempted to, like, accompany you as you were talking about what baking can do. Because I have my piano here, but it might not pick up. But
oh my God. That's my favorite Jenna song.
Well, it's so hard to play and sing at the same time. But let me just give you a little.
Live music moment.
Right?
Oh yeah, there it is.
Oh my God.
And that's all she can play before we have to pay the rights to Sarah.
That's right. Thank you. That's all I can play. Uh-huh. No, but that's one of the ones that's highly recommended. People are like, I want to hear that. And I'm like, I cannot play and sing that song at the same time because it's rhythmic. You hear, so my voice goes, make it work, make it easy. It starts to do what the key, like the hands are doing. Oh, yeah. Anyway, this is not what we were going to talk about, but.
I mean, I love it.
But I just was so tempted. I was like, oh, I just really want to like play for him because he's just like nailing it with the like baking across the country. Also, Cleveland.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was in Cleveland for like 12 weeks. Not 12, 8. Mm-hmm. We were there for forever.
Playhouse Square.
What did you think?
Oh, listen, that was a special time for us. So we have such fond memories of it. I mean, we were like putting up the show and everyone was there and it was stressful, but we loved it. And like, so I didn't get a ton of, honestly, I didn't get a ton of time to see things around, which is when, and we're not the only people that have like teched and opened there, right?
The Hello Dolly tour did that. A few shows have started at Great Lakes.
I wonder if it's because there's so much space. Anyway, we loved. But if we weren't teching, I would have probably run around and seen more things. But I did my best to. But it's just the people were the absolute sweetest.
So nice.
I mean, I was so happy to open. And I was so happy to open in a town like that. And so welcoming. You know, and houses like packed and going nuts, and you know that's what we needed. You know.
Oh, I love to hear that. I saw you in Cleveland.
Oh, honey, and also it's absolutely amazing to think and know how much my performance had changed since then. But you know what? We all have to go and start somewhere.
Oh, right, because that was the very beginnings of your days.
The very, very beginning of the days of like, I'm just now being. You know, it's so prop heavy and it was so technical. And even though it's a simple set and things are relatively like simple and easygoing, it was a technical show. There's like cute tables flying on from the sides and you don't even understand. You're like, oh my God, now we're in the diner. Like so there was so much to it, but I think those first performances were like the very first time I was literally like my training wheels were off, you know?
Yeah.
In a way of like, oh my gosh. Oh, okay. Now we're going to do this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, we have such fond memories. Like, it's the sweetest. Oh my God.
I'm so happy
Cleveland.
To hear.
I literally just saw a fan posted the picture the other day with us at the stage door outside of Cleveland. And I was like, oh, such fond memories.
That little alleyway that's like covered.
Yeah. Oh, girl. Do we know the alleyway?
Do you know it?
Oh, yeah.
You say we live there.
We stayed short every show there as teens, and
yeah,
it's a special place. I actually worked at Playhouse Square right before moving to New York, so it's the whole venue means a lot to me. But I didn't see you in Waitress. I was in New York before Connor, but I remember him telling me one key thing about your Jenna was that you had an incredible accent.
Yes, it was almost. It was. I mean, we had seen Jesse twice, but it immediately I was like, oh, this might be a different region of the South that she's in.
You're precious. Okay, so I love accents. And she is supposed to be in Southern Indiana, I think.
I never knew that. Okay, I always wondered.
That is like, everyone always wonders, like, is it Texas?
Yeah.
Is it Oklahoma? Yeah. They're all different. But see, there's different types of accents in our country, mm-hmm. just like there are in, you know, in London, you're like, okay, are you RP? Is it in the UK? You're like, okay, is it Northern? Is it, you know, we all have different types like that. And so I kind of pride myself on being, I don't know, kind of good at like knowing the regions. Now I'm from Kansas, as you said, and as you know.
Yes.
So like, that's a totally different accent. So it's not drawn out. That's not right. Like this is so, and that's so extreme, mm-hmm. but the lilt is Southern belly, right? So anything that has something a little bit more like this is going to be more like that's Mississippi, Louisiana. Like those mm-hmm. are those. And then Texas is going to be shorter front of the mouth. So it's going to be so much more like this.
You sound like Coach right? Monica from Cheer.
Oh my God. Okay. Obsessed. Yeah. So then, and you know, and those are just the different kinds of Southern accents. And I think they wanted us to find more of the one, more of probably the second one I did.
Okay. Okay.
But somewhere in between. And so I thank you, honestly, thank you, because I wanted it to be authentic. And I feel like, you know, I wanted it to be real. I really did. So thank you.
Oh yeah.
That means
was the first
a lot
thing
to
he
me.
Said. That was the last thing he
yes.
said.
Okay. So, well, also I think some people were having to learn an accent that didn't even have, I mean, I grew up in Kansas and around accents, Southern accents to be specific. And so like, and then let alone then you go to London. Oh my God. They were so mad. They were so mad that I got there. Cause they were like, okay, now we all sound like shit.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We sound completely, utterly ridiculous next to you. Thank you. You know, and I'm like, well, honey, I'm just doing my thing. I'm trying.
Yeah.
yeah. So it was, that just honestly made my day. I can just go to sleep happy today.
I'm so glad. Oh my God. I feel like I have so many Waitress questions.
I know. We are obsessed with Waitress. It's like one of our favorite musicals.
I think I've seen it more times on Broadway than I've seen any other show.
Are you serious?
Well, because I saw it on tour. And I had to see Jesse, and we went back, and I didn't see every Jenna, but I saw almost. This is like a reveal. I'm like semi-embarrassed.
Go,
to reveal,
baby.
But it's so good. I mean,
well, we had to see Nicolette.
Well,
you know, listen, I'm gonna give you some credit here. The show changes immensely when the Jenna is different. Come on. Yes,
it really does.
Not just the Jenna, but even the other parts, all the understudies. Mm-hmm. It's too mm-hmm. personal, my loves. Like,
yeah.
I am going to... Do you own that?
Yes.
You own that. You own how many times you've seen it. It changes the show completely. And so I love that. Love that.
It was great. I mean, I think it's honestly one of the most seamless book and musicals we've had maybe ever. I mean...
I completely agree.
It is just amazing. It is
beyond.
We always say this, but if it was in any other season than the Hamilton season, it would have been the big winner.
You're
and it should
exactly
be.
Right.
But I mean, it's run. The fact that it lasted so long after that season is remarkable. And the producers are so smart. It's the same producers as... Never mind. I'm thinking of the Weislers who do Chicago.
Chicago. They absolutely are. That's why I did Roxy.
Okay.
Oh, wow. There it is. Yeah.
Literally, he was like, you need to play Roxy. I said, heart? I'm like, how did you get Roxy from Jenna? He goes, not from your Jenna, from you.
Ooh,
and I said,
oh! I mean, that's probably the actor's dream that they're seen for themselves and not as a character that they are famous for, right?
So you incredible. Know?
That is so cool. Okay, well, we're gonna dive into all this.
Isn't that so fun?
Oh,
I'm so glad
so
you guys
fun.
Are so interested in all the cute, cute things. We love it.
Oh, we love it. So, Desi, I'm wondering something just about you. I'm wondering if you're well. Are you doing well?
I'm okay. You know what? It's a wacko upside down time. Mm-hmm. But everybody's doing their best. I'm grateful for moments like this to like still talk about theater and connect to theater and like encourage young people and coach young people right now and stay as connected as we can. I mean, but you know what? Because that's what everyone, isn't that wild? Like that's what we need right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like we need theater right now, even though we can't, right? Like it's bizarre, like more than ever, we need it.
It's the most cathartic thing I think that's out there.
Else can we go? Like, where else can we come together like this, you know, and express? So I'm okay. I think I'm as good as I can be.
You're staying busy.
Every day is different. I think allowing every day to be different is okay too, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But if you wake up and you're like, I'm going to conquer the world today. And then like, you know, one day, then the next day you're like, I'm going to conquer absolutely nothing besides the inside of my eyelids and I'm going to have a beautiful day of rest. It's just like, you have to, right? It's a balance, right? So being okay with that and allowing things to suck a little bit, right? Like it's okay that a day is really, really sucky.
Yes,
and then it's okay to have a great day, you know? So just kind of taking it as it comes. Yeah. That's what I would
say. That's how you got to be.
I love
that mentality.
That's awesome.
You guys are adorable. I cannot even with how cute you are.
Oh my God. Well, thank you.
So, I'm blushing, fully blushing.
But you know, like I've said, there's so many, I have like a million waitress questions, Chicago, everything you've done, but before we get into it, cause the question always ends up at the end of the episode, but I just want to like get it out now is we like to ask all of our guests about their Ring of Keys moment as it pertains to a life in the arts, that moment of recognition when they thought, oh my goodness, I see myself in that, or I want that, I need that. Do you feel like you have it?
Yeah. I grew up in Wichita, Kansas, and there's this amazing regional theater there called Music Theater of Wichita. Mm-hmm. So creatively named. So accurately named. And I met, like the very first show I ever did, I was 8 years old, and the person who was starring in it was Kelly O'Hara.
No.
Like, I will not. Like, I can't, right? Like, what is that? Like, I'm 8 years old and I'm like, I'm from Wichita, Kansas. And I'm like hanging out and I'm doing what everybody else does. And you know, you're auditioning for summer theater or whatever, like summer camp or soccer or whatever kids do.
Yeah.
And I'm
what
like,
do they do?
I'm like, what do kids do today? You know, I had this opportunity to learn from the greatest people in the world doing this at the top of their field. And we're getting even more on the top of their field. And I'm like sitting on their lap and I'm like, I like to sing. And, you know, and that's who I learned from. So my Ring of Keys moment is growing up, I don't know, in Wichita, Kansas, and having these incredible mentors show me the ropes. I had no idea that I was learning from them. And I have to say it is the reason why I am where I am. They took me under their wings. They said, you could do this, you know? And so it was honestly, it might've been that exact year subconsciously, but definitely a few years later, more consciously, I was like, holy cannoli, this is the opportunity that's going to shape me.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh,
now we do have a special guest. This is the first time we've had two special guests in one episode.
Hey.
Hi.
So good.
Good.
Good. How are you?
Nice to meet you. I'm Andy.
I'm Dylan. Hi, Andy. I'm Connor. You know, we were telling Desi earlier that we opened up like questions on our social media. Like we're interviewing Desi Oakley. What do you want to know? What do you want to know? And literally everybody was like, ask about the boyfriend.
Ah, yes. The boyfriend.
You know?
Well, that's because he's a Broadway boyfriend.
He is. We saw you in Cats.
Oh my goodness.
I saw you twice, actually. I love Cats.
Really? I love Cats as well.
Mm-hmm. I ended up seeing him in the show like four different times without necessarily seeing him. I mean,
she was going to see Friends.
I was going to see Friends, and then of course was like, oh my gosh, of course, Andy, because we went to school together.
Okay.
Oh my God.
At the University of Michigan.
We have to say we're Ohio State Buckeyes.
Okay, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Just
we got
calm.
BFAs in musical theater, so we're like...
It's okay.
You know,
yeah.
It's just a part of the deal. Right.
You guys are still darling.
This is still a safe space.
Okay, wait, so you two met in school. When did the love connection begin?
Yeah, we were in the same class.
Not then. We were friends and, you know, supported each other like we did as classmates for all of our class. I mean, everybody was supportive of one another. We were learning how to do musical theater. And then our journeys took us on our journeys, you know, and then we reconnected in March.
Yeah, just before the pandemic.
Conveniently.
Just before, yeah.
So is this not rich? So we are also not only were reconnecting as college, you know, buddies at the time. We can't say college sweethearts because
not even a
that
little
would
bit.
Mean that
no.
would mean that we were dating in college.
Right, right.
No, we were not sweethearts at all. I had been proud of Desi from, you know, afar. We were not close for the past 10 years, really, but we graduated together. I was like, oh, she's doing great.
We cool. always kept up with each other, too. I'd be like, oh my gosh, Andy, congrats, you know, and like, yeah. I followed his career and obviously knew he was amazing and, you know.
So we went to support a friend who was transitioning out of the city and transitioning into directing. So we went to go see his directorial debut, and it was like 4 days before the shutdown. Desi was in New York waiting to do another Chicago contract. She had just come back from the West End. I was in Los Angeles with a Book of Mormon, and we both flew in for the day. And everything shut down less than a week later.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Also, we didn't know each other were going to be there. We just texted each other the day that we reconnected. We were like, oh, hey, you're coming to support our friend. Cool. See you soon. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
We
had glad I get to see you. You know.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
That's
wait,
faithful.
So did you guys decide to quarantine together? Like, what's the tea?
No, we quarantined separately, obviously. Like, we both were distant and then staying where we were because safety.
Right.
But we were like, oh my gosh, we're dying to be in the same place. And so eventually we thought it was safe enough.
Yeah.
We made the move to be together, which wasn't that long ago.
It was in July.
So a ton of time was spent reconnecting on the good old FaceTime.
Oh yeah. Been a relationship saver through quarantine.
Truly.
That's so truly cute. Like,
relationships of all kind. I mean,
it's been interesting to reconnect in a time when our careers are not existing the way that we knew them for 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But to have an understanding of each other's careers and what we were doing, what that was, it's been great.
So were you at Michigan during like the Jake Wilson, Mike Kelton years?
Mike Kelton, okay. Yes. Jake Wilson left just before we got there.
Okay.
Did he?
But I had Jake Wilson was 07. Yeah, we came in that fall.
Andrew Keenan Bolger was around?
Yes. Also 07. Yeah.
07.
The biggest class ever.
We came in at
with Justin and Paul.
Oh, wait.
Of Pasek and Paul.
Pasek and Paul.
It was the senior year's class. There, that was their phrase.
Like, yeah. Mike Kelton.
Do-re-mi-fa-so 08.
Oh, I
no. 08 was.
Right?
No. Oh, wait. We're our seniors. Anyway.
Okay. It's fine. I'm just,
Mike
you
Kelton
know what?
And I, Mike Kelton.
He has a better memory than me.
I had Mike Kelton's brother's fake ID in college.
Oh, that's
I know
legendary.
That Mike Kelton is from Katona, New York, because I pretended to be from Katona, New York.
You had to know that.
21. Yeah.
Mike Kelton has an incredible podcast himself about
kids. We do not recommend that. We do not recommend that to anyone.
No fake IDs.
Do not drink until you're 21. Thank you.
There's nowhere to go right now anyways, so people can just wait.
Everyone stay home and be safe. Yes, okay.
Well, Andy, listen, it was so nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you. Thanks for saying hi.
That was such a treat. We didn't know if that would work, and that is really special. Thanks for coming to say hi.
You're on drama, so we're going to keep this in if that's okay.
Yay.
Unless you decide later you don't want it, but
you guys are so cute with your glasses.
Oh, glasses.
His are because he needs them, and mine are to protect my lights, the blue lights, my eyes from the lights. Yeah.
It's nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Desi, I'm going to need like a winter photo shoot of you two in sweaters together. And
would that be adorable?
Oh my God.
Do we need? He said, yeah. He said, okay, so now that it's been said, it's just going to have to happen. Okay,
exactly.
Let me put you back in my headphones.
Oh my God. That was such a treat. He is so cute.
Oh, the absolute cutest. I know.
Oh my God. This was a drama first. This was a drama first to have people tell their love story in real time.
In real time.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love it.
Isn't he just the absolute best? We have a great time.
Yeah. And I'm so happy.
Every day is different and fun, and you know, we keep it exciting, and it's, yeah.
Oh, that's so special.
He's the perfect person to be sharing a one-bedroom apartment with right now on the Upper West Side in New York during a pandemic.
I love it.
Wouldn't choose anyone else.
I love the Upper West Side. One of my survival jobs was up there. I was at the Soul Cycle on 92nd and Broadway for like 2.5 years.
I have frequented.
Oh my God.
I wonder if our paths crossed.
Probably. They probably did. That's so crazy. Isn't that weird to think about? I mean, especially in
how you're like, yes. You look back, you're like, maybe I talked to this person. Like,
what? It's very if then. I always think about that. You know, that musical if then.
It actually is. You're right. That's a highly relatable plot.
Desi, I have to ask you because, you know, Andy mentioned that you were about to do Chicago again. Does this mean that you were about to replace the iconic Erika Jayne who was playing Roxy Hart?
Honey, there were all the talks and that's one of the shows too that like they had to stay open. And so they're going to bring in all sorts of people to try to sell their tickets. And like, once they knew that I could and I would be available and ready, right? Like if I wasn't doing anything else, I would love, capital L, love to come back anytime, right? So like, it was kind of like a, I don't know, now that you know it, kid, we'll throw you in on a dime's notice and you'll come and just steal the show, you know, like that kind of a thing. And that's happened. That's happened with, I think, probably several people in the Chicago cast who have saved the day of, honestly, it's the same with Wicked. They're like, if you know the show, this is our well-oiled machine. We have a lot of people that know these parts, but we have like charts of people who know which, you know, like there's people who, which roles do they know and which ones can they cover? And like, oh, she doesn't know Morrible? Okay, great. Does she cover, like, it's like, okay, is he a wizard cover? Okay, no, he's not. Okay, great. We gotta switch that. You know, it's these machines. And it's like, once you know it, it's an incredible thing to, and this doesn't always happen, right? Like,
sure.
Shows like that, like, it's incredible to like, you know, be a part of these loyal companies. And I really mean that. Like, there are some Broadway shows that are incredibly loyal. And they're like, hey, if you do work for us and you show up for us and you work hard, like, we'll call you. And literally, that's when, like, Broadway calls. Like, that's a thing.
When like, Broadway calls. I love it.
When Broadway calls.
That's iconic.
That's so cool.
I love this, like, lighting that's happening in my room right now. So there's the sun is setting. And it's giving me like very, what shows have that kind of lighting? Can you see this like very, like they always do the blocks on the.
Gosh, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Do you know what I mean? It's like they're cute little like blocks. They'd be like, you're going to stand in the stage right block. Anyway, but if you're listening, it's like literally these beautiful little patterns on my wall of lighting. It totally looks like I had somebody professionally light the Zoom call.
It does. It's so aesthetic.
We should commission it to be like art on the wall.
What if I was like, what if I did? You don't know.
Oh,
That's true. You never know.
In regards to Chicago, we've never seen it. And we had to see it eventually. And I know we will eventually, but I think that's the appeal too, is you can go see your favorite Broadway performer or celebrity pop into it. And is it Roxy or Velma that's usually where they bring in a name? But so how cool that they brought in a Broadway name to play Roxy.
Normally Roxy, because Velma is so demanding.
Mm-hmm.
She does so much physically.
Mm-hmm.
If the role is not being, what do we call, like, sort of like, I want to just say if it's not being changed based on someone's talent level.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. With Roxy, you can truly adapt. That's kind of the word I was looking for. Like if it's not being adapted. So Roxy can like essentially like walk on stage. She wants to be a star, honey. She is just like, I am here. So she can, if she can hold a gun and shoot the guy in the first scene, we're pretty much like good. and everyone's going to swirl around her. And she'll tell her story. And, you know, it's like one scene after another. It's very vaudevillian in that way. The show itself totally reflects the style of the show that they're speaking in and being a part of. And so it's little vignettes, little scenes one after the other. And so so you can have Roxy to the fullest extent of like Bob Fosse choreography, like, you know, singing in the higher keys and, or, you know, there are lower keys or there's adapted choreography or like, there is moments where she can, you know, so it's just, it's easier as opposed to Velma, who's like, hello, I got paid $1,000 a week to be a vaudeville star to do this trick, this trick, this trick, mm-hmm. this trick, right? Like, even in her like murder monologue, she says she found her sister, she used to do this act with her sister. And I right. like, just can't do it alone, right? That's the song.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's talking about all these acrobatic tricks and like, she's good. So as even though she's been out of practice for a little bit, she's still got to be like freaking good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you have, that's a tall order, a celebrity to come in and be like, oh, also, can you do some like cartwheels and splits? And you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
is that who Mel B, did Mel B play Velma?
Mel B played Roxy.
She played Roxy. Okay.
Wow. And let me tell you this. Oh my God, there's a Mel B story. Are you ready? Drama. I wanted to do it because I heard you say it. No, it's not drama like that, but I just loved it because I loved your intro on the podcast. Okay. So I wanted to try it.
I'm obsessed. It means a lot to us to hear the guests say drama back. It's part of our thing.
It wasn't good. Mine wasn't as good. Wait, will you show it?
No.
Will you do it again?
Yes. Unfortunately, the Zoom sync is always off, but
I know, but I'll just follow. I'll trail right behind you.
Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Drama.
I have chills.
Oh my God.
We nailed. Actually, that was,
we did.
We should take, we should, that was really good. Okay. So anyway, Roxy shoots the guy, like I said, and then she runs around the stage and she goes and she climbs this ladder that's like very, 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 very tall in the sky. And then she sings Funny Honey, hanging off of a ladder where there's no harness. She's just hanging off a ladder. Oh yeah. It's terrifying actually. And so anyway, there is Roxy comes in during the first number, which is All That Jazz. So her vignette happens during a musical break.
Okay.
So of All That Jazz, right? So All That Jazz, All That Jazz, dun, 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 dun. Roxy comes in, shoots, right? She's like, you son of a bitch, right? She runs and runs away. Now they have to finish All That Jazz. Literally, it's like, end all. From there to the end of the song is how long I have to get all the way on the other side of the stage, right? Climb the ladder, okay? Heart rate is up. Also, we're like physically working. I'm climbing the ladder. And then I get up to the top during, this was now not a performance, but you're on a ladder that's being hidden behind the wing and you're swung out. So there's post of the ladder that is hinged. Think of like a hinge on a door, right? So that's how the ladder is revealed and Roxy's on it at the top. Well, up, this reminds me very like Glinda bubble moments. Okay. There is a piece of tape that's kind of like flapping in the wind. It's like falling off. And it says, breathe, bitch, girl power, spelled GRLPWR with a heart. And I go, breathe, bitch, girl power. Who wrote that? And went, Mel B, we never took it down. I was like, oh my God, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
That is incredible.
Is that not the best thing you've ever heard? So I would go up there.
Oh, that's so cool.
Some nights you need that. Mm-hmm. We're human beings, okay? And the Glindas write each other messages too. And they're like,
that's so cool.
Because y'all know about that. That's way harder than what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
They're up in that bubble. They get in the bubble on stage. And then they take the bubble up into the wings. And they wait the entire opening number.
Oh,
up, all the way up, right? And then they have to make their entrance. Can you, like, I'm sorry.
and then after No One Mourns the Wicked, Glinda has a quick change into college drag.
Yep.
And sometimes I've seen it before where she's off stage doing her.
She goes,
And you're like, where's Glinda? Where is she? And then finally she shows up.
And then we all look at Elphaba. In comes Glinda. She's like, sorry, I'm like, okay, anyway.
It's so good.
It's fascinating. Anyway, I just love that. I love that.
That's so cool.
The first time I saw it, I was like, I could just hear Mel B, like, girl power. I was like, this is amazing. I'm obsessed.
And you're part of that legacy. That's so cool.
I did not write on a piece of tape, but maybe next time I go back, I will.
And maybe it's still there.
How could I beat that, though? We'll talk about it.
That is so you'll cool. Have
we'll come up with something.
That's remarkable because you did Chicago last summer.
That's right.
It was last summer. Okay,
and exactly. Then, right. Oh my God, that feels like so long ago.
I know,
but and also like kind of feels like yesterday. I know what's going on with that.
This has been a time warp of a year, but before the pandemic, you did go to the West End.
I did.
Which is where I'm an Anglophile all the way. Like I'm so jealous that you went, and it was sort of was this like pre-COVID, like because everyone was sick.
It was no, and it, people weren't sick because of COVID. And I think that we can confirm that. I know that was something that was like going around. They're like, wait, did everybody have COVID? No, it was very specific stuff going on. It was like, one was vocal, like truly like a vocal problem, and which, you know, we don't mess with that. Like, you don't mess with vocal problems. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then some were actual sicknesses. I know there was flu going on, fever, all that stuff. Like, truly, there was no one to do the show. And that, it's not like when they did it in the States, right? It was like, okay, wonder what Betsy's up to. Wonder what Nicolette's up to. Wonder what, like, mm-hmm. Allie Luff, like, can we just get one of our gals? Kind of like what we've been talking about. Is this our team? Like, just grab, who can do it? You know what I mean? Like, so in America, that's where these people live. So even if they're on a plane away, maybe they're not in the city, but we'll get them there. You can get somebody there, not in London. Because at that point, the people that have been Jenna in that production are the following people. Kat McPhee, who lives in America. Mm-hmm. The one who was starring in it at the time, the queen, Lucy Jones. All hail.
Lucy Jones. Yeah.
Yes.
So, and Lucy was out. They can't just be like, cool, we'll call up. Okay. So they said, like, they said, you know, I got a call. And I love this. And again, this is my relationship with the producers. And, you know, I think it's just a testament, honestly, to just, you know what, keep showing up, keep doing your thing, keep going. Mm-hmm. You don't need, so many people were like, God, why didn't you ever play it on Broadway? And are you mad you didn't play it on Broadway? No, I'm not mad. Everything happens the way that it should. And because of my experience with, let's say, going back to 8-year-old Desi at Music Theater of Wichita and how mm-hmm. I learned the professionalism, right? My Ring of Keys moment. Like, and then Wicked, where I was a swing and I was one of those people where they were like, in that chart, my loves, that chart I was mentioning, you know, whatever, the chart.
Yeah.
I had a ton of roles listed there, right? Like, I could have played a bunch of roles. So I'm somebody now that has, like, proven to people, who are these people, whatever, that, like, I can kind of, like, figure something out enough to be trusted enough to get through something enough. Like, I'm going to handle it, right?
Yeah.
And Barry said, you know, Barry Weissler was like, look, it's the first thing I thought of. Get Desi over there. So it was 10 hours notice before I was on a plane.
What?
And when they told me, I was like, no, like, ha-ha. Or like, it essentially, they had mentioned to me, and most people don't know this and I don't talk about it much, but they had told me I was just coming out for coverage.
Oh.
Like, we might need you. And if that's the case, we're going to throw you on a plane just to, like, have you out there. And I thought, okay, oh my gosh. I cried earlier that year, and I mean this, and it sounds funny, but I really mean it. I cried on my 30th birthday, which was 6 months prior, because I had not been to Europe. And I cried because I was mad at myself for how much I wait around for work, or I make myself available for work, or I have prioritized work. Working so hard is incredible. That is an important, important thing. But it is also important to travel and to go where you want to go and see who you want to see. But listen, for me, so when I got this call, I feel like the universe, God, whatever you want to say, said, you don't need to stop working now. Let's have you go. Let's have you go. And I said, okay. And I literally, and at the time I didn't really know you know how it all happened so quickly, and bless them, they just needed someone over there. So once they knew I was on a plane, they were like, oh, okay. And then I ended up doing 2 weeks.
Yeah. Two whole weeks.
Yes.
In the West End.
Do we say on or in?
I think it's in, it's on Broadway in the West End.
Really?
Oh. I heard that once. Yes.
Interesting.
Wait. Okay. I have totally been saying it wrong. I hope no one laughs.
Oh no! I don't think anyone's mad. I don't think anyone's mad. But
on the West, in the West End. Okay, guys. We love an important preposition, honey. It's important.
Oh yes, I was an English major.
Were you? I love that.
Oh yes.
English.
And it's gotten me every job. I've ever needed. Mm-hmm.
We love. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Now I feel like that's important information for me to know, especially as I share this story. I need to say.
No, yeah.
Okay.
And didn't they also bring over the Becky from Broadway?
They had brought over, let's see. I feel like other people have gone in and out mm-hmm. from the States. I wasn't the only role to come from. Yeah, actually, that's right. I feel like Natasha went out there.
I think it was Natasha. Yeah.
And Natasha, I know, get this, because we're all, she was one of my Mama Mortons.
Oh,
see?
Fun.
Are you seeing the circle? There's the circle of life. I know.
Literally.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. And Natasha's such a love muffin. I love her.
Oh, she's amazing. I'm wondering, what was your experience playing Jenna like? You were done on tour. So you're going back to this character, but not only that, but you're going to a whole new place. What was it like doing it in the West End?
I'm so happy to tell you that at the beginning, I did not have enough time to think about that. Like, I didn't think, like, to the point where I even tell this story sometimes, is that I grabbed my script. I was able to look at my script on the plane. And I was trying to prepare, because at that point, it would have been about a year and a half, but oh, wow. It wasn't. It was only 7 months because Christine Dwyer, who replaced me on tour, got married. And for her wedding, in order for her to have, she got 2 full solid weeks to enjoy. And so they had me come back for that.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And so it had only been 7 months instead of a year and a half. But still 7 months. Sorry, still 7 months. Okay.
Yeah.
So I like got my script out on the plane, and I was like, okay, I am on a plane to London. I am going to do this, and maybe I won't, but like I'm going to do this. I'm just going to like be around. So let's start at the beginning. And it was like sugar. I was like, okay, we can skip this part. Okay, so we're skipping, and I'm like, deep. Wait, blueberry. Big. Wait. I'm like, did I sing this? What harmony did I started to lose it? And I go, you know what, Desi? Take a breath. I closed the script. Do you want to know why looking at the script did not help me? Because when was the last time I looked at a script? Cleveland!
Oh my God.
So this was not helpful for me. And this is a lesson in learn what's good for you. Learn what is helpful for you. This means as a person, as a human, and as an artist. It was not helpful for me because I did not have my people. Mm. I had no one. And also, I'm looking at this page. I haven't looked at the words. And I literally like, is that the word I say? I'm second guessing everything. I'm like, what is it called? Like, is this what I say? Is that what I said? Anyway, totally second guessing everything. So I closed the script. I said, trust it in time. If I go on, which I did hours later, it will make sense. So I closed the script. When the flight attendant came around and said, red or white wine? I said, red, please. I said, I'm going to just take a little snooze. I'm going to just relax my mind and body. I need people to make this happen. And so something else that I know about myself is I tried to talk to as many people as I could, conversations with people. It was such a whirlwind, my friends. Like when I'm telling you whirlwind, like you can go ahead and picture the cartoon version of it where there's like bobby pins flying places. There's like the trail of dust behind someone running up the stairs. Like it's like, think like that. It was that. But I tried so hard to be like, hey, like I'm Desi, like, you know, it's because that's what I need, because mm-hmm. I need connection. And if I have that, I know I'll be okay. So I went on that. I went on the following night. The following night from the airplane. So it wasn't that night. Obviously I got in.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I spent enough time talking to people where I felt safe. And the other thing about it is now, you know, the audiences there in London had gone 2 shows without a show. They had canceled 2, bless them. Oh. There's nothing to be done. They canceled 2 shows. And like, it takes a lot to cancel a show. It takes a lot. And if it means literally there's no one to do this properly, You know, they thought of everything. They were over there blessing their hearts. They were like, could she do it? Could she do it with a script? Could they? And they're like, no, I, we would just rather, it was just like, could we do a concert version? And they did one night.
Okay.
They did their best. Like they just tried their best. But anyway, so audiences knew and caught wind because the audiences and the West End audiences and community are just like our Broadway community, but a little smaller. So like things are like crazy news and like, and like it would be here too.
Yeah.
We would, it'd be the same, but they got word that I was coming and I sort of announced on my Instagram, I guess that night, like, hey, I'm here. Cause I didn't know. And when I finally got word that I was going on, I said, oh, so I could, can I like tell my mom I'm going on? They were like, yes. I was like, okay, I might just like send her a text. And then I had somebody take a picture of me on stage. And I said like, well, I'm here. And this was a picture for my mom. And I ended up being like, I'll just throw it on Instagram really quick. Oh boy. Okay. So that was insane. I couldn't look at my phone for like 48 hours. It was
awesome. Oh my God.
It was insane. So I ended up all was well, all good. And it was amazing. When the curtain went up, which, you know, you see a little vignette of Jenna Sugar, right? And as soon as the starts, you can see her. I was Taylor Swift at Madison Square Garden.
Oh my God.
It was because they had known. They don't care. But I didn't even have to say a word. And they were like, this girl is from America and she's here and she flew here. Or my ticket wasn't canceled for tonight. Like, yeah. I don't know. Who cares? Just like so thrilled to be there. And that at that point I had two choices. And one choice was like freak out because this is what the expectation is, or use it. I haven't even done anything and they love me.
Yeah. you saved the show.
Yeah. Well, it saved me. It really did. It was an experience that like truly, I mean, I wrote an album about it. Pocket of Time is about it. And, it changed my life. That experience changed my life. It really did.
Oh, that's gorgeous. And speaking of Pocket of Time, it is so beautiful. And I love the final track.
Thank you. So people don't know this either. I've always had a dream of being like a film composition, like a composer, like a film score composer. Like a la Forrest Gump, you know, think like very dramatic. And I took my little stab at it and I have more and I like want to do it. And thank you for saying that because I threw it on there and I'm like, people are gonna think this is weird. There's no lyrics. And I just, thank you. That means
a lot. Roll the credits. It was so pretty. It was very Pixar, honestly, in a way too.
Oh my God.
You know, they have those beautiful.
Well, yes. I mean, certainly. That is, a very, very, very huge compliment to me.
And I love Sweet Surprise, too. I think that's, my favorite one.
Thank you. That's, my little attempt at the guitar. But that's a huge nod to the show. That's about Waitress. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And now that I know that, it all makes sense. Oh, that's so cool.
Speaking of Waitress, we were talking before we started recording, but we opened up, you know, on social media to our Patreon, aka Patreama by Drama subscribers. We said, hey, we've got Desi Oakley coming on. What do y'all want to know? And everybody, well, like we told Andy, we were like, they want to know about the boyfriend. But also, they were like, we loved her Broadway.com waitress blog, Pie a la Road.
Pie a la Road, honey. that was that pun. Listen, I'm genuinely shocked. Not that like, I had no idea if these were good. I literally was like, Broadway.com, the team there, I said, you guys, I gave them so way too much footage. And I was like, could you try to help this be good? I was afraid that that wasn't like enough. I was really, really self-conscious about it. I was nervous about talking to castmates too much about being like, oh no, there's Desi again with the camera in her face. And like, I wanted it to be great. And so I'm honored that it worked out well, but that is a huge testament to Broadway.com. I mean, honestly, but I was so happy to know that it was fun to like to see what we did. And ultimately I was just like, here, does anybody mind if I have a camera on in this? Okay, thanks. You know, I would just like put the camera on a diner counter somewhere. And, you know, anyway, that means a lot. That means a lot. Cause I did have fun doing it. And, yeah, no, it was, I have really, really good memories of that. So I'm glad it went well. I actually, to be very honest, I haven't watched any of them.
Oh, they're okay. So fun. I hadn't really, you know, I don't know. I hadn't seen them. I'm not really, I don't know. I guess this is me confessing. I hadn't watched any of the Broadway vlogs in years and years and years from anyone, to be honest. But when people were saying we love them, I went and I watched all of them. And it's funny thinking about how similar they are to the ones the ones you made are to the tour cast of like Spring Awakening that I watched when I was like 15. And it's interesting in the sense that like, I doubt you were inspired by seeing these Spring Awakening vlogs, but the life of an actor on tour, it's interesting how similar and how, how it's timeless in the fact that like the cast finds community in similar ways. They are very interested in, you know, what is the house like? What is the weather like here? What are we going to do on our off days? Like seeing the little backstage cast traditions.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
It's cool how, I don't want to say history repeats itself, but I suppose how just like the legacy of national touring cast, it really is like a bonding experience. And was really fun.
And that like footage is what's available to us. So like, we're like, okay, here's what I can show you. Like besides you coming on stage with me every single night, which is a huge part of it, right? What can I show? Like, okay, here's where I'm living this time. Or like, this is what I'm filling my day with. Or like, you know, and that really, those, I think if every single person who's ever been on a national tour got together, I think these are the conversations we would have, you know? And people, we do, like Andy has toured and we're like, oh wait, where did you stay when you guys went to, like, it's their conversations. Like, we have all that in common. So, it's fun. We have similar memories in some cities, which is really sweet. So I wonder if there is kind of like that even greater community at large sort of that's like experiencing something really similar, you know, in that way.
I loved it. I don't know how you did 8 shows a week as Jenna, moved cities. We're probably updating your own social media in addition to doing press every day with, you know, subscribers, local news networks, and then I don't know how.
We also taught 2 Lulus every. We had a Lulu rehearsals and taught 2 Lulus every single week.
Oh my god!
So we had Lulu rehearsal because we use, and that model ended up being incredibly successful. We only had in my first year, we only had 1 little girl that didn't feel up for it one night, and we had a backup. Instead, we continue to use the small child, which the only thing that doesn't make sense is Dawn's belly.
Okay.
Is a time thing. But that's the only, cause Dawn is pregnant in the finale. Uh-huh. And if you don't, you know, that wouldn't make sense that Lulu has not grown since then, but we just went ahead and held the baby as a backup, which is a great backup. Every little girl absolutely loved it and also nailed it. And several of the little girls are successful, like working. One of them is in like a new TV show. Like, it's insane. Yeah.
That's so cute. I love that moment.
In like 20 years, I'm going to need a Lulu reunion concert where
they all right now currently still think I'm their mom. Like, they're like, my mama. I'm like, okay.
Was it challenging to play a new mother, not having, I don't think you're a mother.
Sure. The only woman who has played Jenna who is a mother is Nicolette, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right.
Now, when Betsy played it, she was not a mother.
Right.
But I believe I'm not alone in the fact that we haven't, you know, experienced that. And there is a challenge there, but you draw on, just like what a lot of acting is if you don't have the actual personal experience, you draw on what you know of others' experiences. And I believe that that's, a beautiful thing about acting is it doesn't always come, I guess same with my songwriting. Like, I don't always write songs about things I've experienced. I write songs about things other people have experienced as well. And so we can have, you know, we can have an idea about something regardless of going through it or not yourself. I think that, I absolutely loved that part. seeing Lulu for the first time made me cry every single time.
Oh, I can imagine.
And I was kind of, you know, I was adamant about the baby, the doll that we used, looking a very specific way. I wanted her to be beautiful to look at. And if in travel she got dirt on her face, or if something happened, or if her blanket was slipping, or like I really wanted, so I would always kind of talk to stage management, hey, do you mind brushing up, you know, the baby again? I just really want it to look beautiful, because that moment was sort of what took me for the last 15 minutes of the show.
Interesting.
And that's what really fueled me to kick Earl out. And if I was looking at a baby, you know, as Desi and it's a prop, it was just harder to tap into. And again, kind of like what I was saying with the accent, it's the same with the flower. I used way too much and ended up slipping on it later. I wanted it to look real. I wanted everything to feel real. And there are pros and cons to that. It's never going to go away about me. That's something that's just inherent within me. I am 110%. And I think that's also what was so challenging about the role, is that if I take it that seriously every night, then, you know, I might pay for it emotionally, which is okay. Mm-hmm. I think all of the Jennas did it a little bit, to an extent, but yeah. So yes, to all of them. Wow.
I'm curious, what would just the last waitress question before we kind of start to wrap up, but yeah. What would you say the biggest lesson you learned from Jenna was?
Learned from Jenna. I like the way you phrase that, actually. And I don't want to change how you said that, because I don't want to change it to maybe what was the biggest lesson you learned from playing Jenna. Maybe I'll take it as what was the biggest lesson you learned from Jenna. Mm-hmm. And that is that she more than me is very real and does not sugarcoat. Ha, no pun intended. She does not, she doesn't say things that she doesn't mean. She wears her heart on her sleeve, but she is slow to judge. I learned a lot about, I could like take pages from her recipe book in those ways that I was like, oh, I love this about her quality. And she slowed me down a lot. So I run, as you know, at Roxy speed, and Jenna really slowed me down. And I fought against that for like a really long time. And I loved it because I went to London, and London is very 1-2 punch, like 1-2-3 laugh, ha, we're done. Like 1-2 go. Like it's a very different style of humor. And they were like, you take a long time between the beats. And I'm like, right. Cause my character's thinking, or I'm taking it in. And I loved that they said I was a little bit slower, because I thought, oh good. Okay. Jenna's rubbed off on me. I'm not like, you know, trying to get here, there, and everywhere. So
anyway, oh, that's special.
Yeah. She slowed me down in a good way, in a really good way.
I love that.
Oh, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Okay. So as we are wrapping up here, we like to end on a dose of drama, which is just, it could be the drama on our hearts and our minds, on our Netflix queue, on a book we've been reading. Anything you're feeling dramatic about or want to, you know, share with the listeners. And I suppose I'll kick it off, because there is something that I've been holding back for a few weeks, for a few months, even on the pod. And I know this is hard for me to admit, because, you know, my journey with The Real Housewives has been one that has taken me from the very beginnings of quarantine. And after we had Jackie Cox in the pod, we talked about Real Housewives, you know, forever and ever and ever. And I thought, I'm going to give the listeners a break. We're going to just kind of wait. We're going to bide our time, but I'm ready to confess and come out and say that, yes, I have been from the beginning binge watching Atlanta and New Jersey simultaneously, one season of one, then one season of the other, one season of one, then one season of the other. And this is hard for me to say, because I was a little embarrassed, you know, cause I did all of New York. I did Beverly Hills. I did Potomac, but I feel free in admitting this. And I just want to share with the listeners that all of the seasons of Housewives, you can learn life lessons from, and they will still keep you company as we go into another lockdown. And I have to say that seasons 2 and 3 of Jersey are absolutely incredible. And I don't know why I was so resistant in Jersey. It's great. And on Atlanta, Sheree is an icon. DM me, we can talk about it. But
I had to get it off my chest because I've been holding it back from social media, from the pod, from everything. But
yeah, it was too much of it. So
how do you feel now?
I feel lighter. Oh,
wow. I can see it.
Oh yeah, we can feel that.
Thank you for giving me this.
I'm so happy that you shared.
Thank you. This space really gave me that. Oh boy.
Speaking of like watching soap for the very first time ever in quarantine, my drama, it's like, what is it? What are we calling it?
A dose of drama.
Oh, it's a dose of drama, of course. I finally watched Drag Race. Finally.
Oh,
and I mean, I'd seen bits and pieces, but I mean, I had done, so I'm fully caught up and then did seasons past. So like, I feel like that was really important. I went all the way and I was like bawling, you know, the whole shebang, chills.
Mm-hmm.
We did all of the moment, there's like little things that happen in each episode each week that like happen, like,
mm-hmm.
like, do you know what I mean? Like RuPaul would be like,
yeah, Rose,
the best woman, win. Uh-huh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so you like raise your arm. Like we had the whole thing. Like we did all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I feel like that was like, I think that was an important one to say.
I think I said this on one of our earliest podcasts we ever recorded, but I have become more spiritual in my adult years and I don't necessarily know if I follow any form of religion anymore, but I do follow RuPaul's Drag Race's lessons and the idea of chosen family. And if you can't love yourself, like how the hell are you gonna love somebody else? And so I really feel like as cheesy and mechanical as the show is at times, there are so many nuggets of beautiful lessons in there.
I completely agree. I was like blown away because I was ready for like some, yes, like I was ready for some outfits. I was ready for some like runway. I was like ready for all of it. I was smacked in the face with the life and I loved it.
Who's your favorite queen?
Oh my God. Okay. Let's say, who won this past season? Do you remember?
Jada Essence Hall.
Oh.
Amazing.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was rooting for Jada to win, though it was kind of like controversial, apparently. Like people were like, you know what I mean? I was all about Jada.
Yeah. Yeah. We were too.
I would say Jada's the top for me.
I love that. Oh my goodness.
She's amazing.
Yeah. I love that.
Oh my God, it's the best.
That's a good dose of drama. I love that.
I love that.
Yeah. I feel like we're connected now because I shared my reality TV. You shared yours.
Yeah.
Even more connected, I should say.
That's right.
Dylan, what's your dose of drama today?
My dose of drama is maybe something that listeners can chew on. It's very brief. I was taking a virtual spin class today and the instructor said, what if your breaking point is actually your breakthrough? And I sometimes think that's a little cheesy. They have some cheesy lines. Spin instructors can be a little preachy. But I thought about it and I realized there have been so many points in my life where I have been knocked down. And Sarah Bareilles talks about being brave enough and you have to just be brave enough and there might be something beautiful that comes from it. It really spoke to me. I don't know. I'm feeling inspired
today. Sometimes it does.
Mm-hmm.
That's gorgeous. I love that. Sometimes your breaking point could be your breakthrough.
That's right. That's right.
Ooh, we love.
I know. That's drama.
That's drama.
True drama, Dylan. I'm kind of gagged.
All right.
Oh my God. Desi, listen, we have had such an awesome time. I cannot thank you enough for doing the podcast. You are you're a light in this world. I mean it.
That is so kind. It was truly a pleasure to be here and to meet you both. It was so enjoyable, every minute of it. I don't want it to end.
I know. Well, you're welcome back anytime, truly. I feel like we could talk forever and ever.
We could probably talk some more doses of drama.
We could. Ooh, we could, for sure.
We could.
I look forward to it. And I hope that everyone follows you at Desi Oakley on Twitter and Instagram. You need to listen to her albums, buy them, devour them, cry to them. They're so beautiful.
You're the best.
And of course, follow at The Drama Podcast, where we've got all the latest on our guests and we're going to have some fun. Well, I think at the time of release, our holiday merch item will be out there.
Yes, that's right. It will be. And be sure to check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/The Drama Podcast. For $5 a month, you get bonus episodes, some of the Zoom calls with some of your favorite guests. We do Q&As, fun stuff, access to our Instagram close friends. So it's great. And we look forward to you joining the fam.
Desi, we love you. Thank you for doing this.
Oh my gosh, I love you both. Thank you for having me. It was such a treat.
All right. Everyone should also follow me at Dylan McDowell.
And me at Connor McDowell.
And Connor, we'll see you next time.
Drama.